Cheerscast is part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Hi, Miss Howe.
Oh, what are you? Don't work for me anymore. You don't need to call me Miss Howe. Just call me Rebecca.
Oh. Hi, Rebecca. Rebecca, I kind of like that. What do you think, Norm?
Now, Woody. Come on.
I'm sorry, Mr. Peterson. It's just not me, Miss Howe. You want to go where everybody knows.
Hello, and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Dealey, and joining me once again from the Front Row Network, please welcome back a man who is both fire and acid resistant, Brandon Davis. How are you doing?
Hey, doing great. How are you?
Doing all right. Thank you for coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. I was telling you before we started, I can't believe we are on season 9 already.
It boggles my mind, and I've been here every step of the way. Yeah.
And what's fantastic is, you know, cheer, you know, at any other series, you know, you get to season 9 and you're starting to feel the doldrums of a long run, but Cheers kind of has a, you know, a boost of energy at this point.
Yeah, I think these are strong. And the two previous episodes in the season, and I talked about this on the episodes with my guests, like I felt like the season premiere kind of started very low energy and they were already dug in a hole and kind of had to build their way out of it by the end. This episode, I think, is gangbusters.
It is.
I'm not already predicting that this will be my favorite episode by the end of the season, but I think it'll be high up there.
This episode is fun. It's a bunch of like things that I feel like would be B plots in other episodes and kind of just sort of mesh together. I mean, it's very plot driven because it's focused on getting Rebecca working back in the bar, but the way they get there is just so funny and has so many incredible funny laugh out loud moments. And it doesn't get there in the way that you would expect it to.
No, and I'll kind of address that in a second. I'll go through the recap, and then I'll kind of talk about something that I noticed this time around. You know, once you start podcasting, you have to hold everything up to much harder scrutiny.
Sure.
But yeah, folks, we are on season 9, episode 3, Rebecca Redo, written by Fief Sutton, Bill Steinkellner, and Sherry Aiken, directed by James Burrows. The original air date was Thursday, October 4th, 1990. Now that Sam is running Cheers again, he's finding it a lot harder than it used to be because of advancements in technology like computers, voicemail, and fax machines. Machines that don't care how great his hair looks. It's causing shortages of bar snacks and accidental purchases of cement and livestock feed. Sam asks Rebecca to come back to Cheers as business manager, but she's already got a new job in public relations. Sam then hires Earl, a former baseball player who has an almost magical ability to bond with everyone at the bar over some personal or professional attribute. While Earl watches the bar, Sam and Woody go to the auto show, where they discover Rebecca is working as the spokesmodel for a protective sealant product for cars. After burning her hands and threatening her new boss, Sam brings Rebecca back to Cheers and offers her the job again. She accepts. But the problem is the position has already been filled by Earl. Sam makes firing Earl Rebecca's first duty, which angers the rest of the bar who has come to love him. Earl understands Sam's loyalty to Rebecca, and he leaves the gang at Cheers with some sage advice and a glorious smile. The gang is sad to see Earl leave, but since it really won't affect their lives at all, they're happy to have Rebecca back. Now, this is one of those things where, like, you hear a title of an episode or you know which episode it is and some visual like pops up in your mind. Like you remember it for some iconic moment or scene or something like that. Mm-hmm. And for me, this episode is the auto show episode.
Yes.
It's the one where Rebecca is working at the auto show. So in my memory, that looms really large in the episode. Like that's what the whole episode is about. And watching it this time, I'm like, oh no, it's only like 3 minutes of total screen time or something like that. Yeah. If that, it's the very end before the commercial break and then like the first scene in the commercial, and then they're out of there. It's not that much time, but it's such a wonderful visual gag. It's so different from the rest of the bar, and it's so it's memorable. So I think, yeah, that kind of goes to what you were saying, kind of like the structure. I feel like the episode is about that moment, but we don't get there until much later in the show.
Yeah. Yeah. What I find so interesting is, yeah, certainly we don't know what Rebecca's new occupation is, you know, mm-hmm. for at the beginning of it. We just know that she's found work and is, you know, she says in public relations. and then when you get there, you're right. It's a visual that, you know, from the first time you see the episode, you don't forget it. And it's got so many incredible sight gags in it and incredibly quotable dialogue between Rebecca, Woody, and Sam all in scene. And it's just, it's just one of those great comic set pieces. And probably because most of the great set pieces you remember take place inside of the bar, and there's really only a handful of really great comic set pieces that take place outside of the bar. So definitely this is going to be one of those standout moments.
Right. But also, as we were saying, even long before we get there, this episode just it knocks it out of the park right away, because this has one of my favorite teasers. And it's a funny one that I always forget about it until I see it. And I'm like, oh, this one is so good. So it begins with Carla serving a guy a beer. And he complains that she didn't ask if he wants anything else. And very patronizingly, which is funny because he patronizing the bar, or he is the patron of the bar. He has a set of dollar bills laid out on the table in front of him, and he tells her that this is set aside as her tip money, but every time she messes up, he's going to take one of the dollar bills away, and this is his method of ensuring good service. Well, every time when he takes the first dollar away, she's like, okay, well, here's what I'm thinking. Carla goes, every time you take one of the dollar bills away, I'm going to do this. And she dips her finger in his beer and flicks it at his nose, in his face. And he's like, that costs you another dollar. And he takes another one away. So she does it again. He takes a dollar. She does it again in his face until finally all of the dollar bills are gone. And he's like, that just cost you your entire tip. And Carla, not to be deterred, she's like, that's fine. I got my own. Digs into her own bag of tip money, slams it on the table, and then dumps the beer on the guy's head. Great moment, great visual. It tells you everything you need to know about Carla, except for one little button that could be added. So it's like, if that was the end of the teaser, that would be great. But she walks back to the bar, angry, and Norm has just been watching this whole thing, and he goes like, so, how long is your brother going to be in town? She's like, a couple weeks. That punch at the end, like, oh my God, that's who this guy is.
And it totally makes sense. And absolutely. And when you realize it, and that's what's so great about it, is because most of the teasers sometimes are just geared toward one joke, but it's, you know, as you said, one joke that works, but then you place another joke as a button on top of it. So it's one of the stronger teasers of any of the episodes. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it's just like, and then also, you know, this actor who plays her brother will show up again in season 11.
He does. A rare bit of continuity regarding a family member. Yeah. The guy who plays him, and he's never named in this episode, but in the next one when he comes back, he's called Sal. He's played by the actor Randy Pelish. And you're right, this is his first of two appearances as Carla's brother on the show. He's also appeared in Frasier and Becker, two shows that have a kind of connection to Cheers. But he was also in the movies Murder in the First, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and the James Woods movie Cop, which is based on the James Ellroy novel Blood on the Moon, which is a favorite of mine. Right. Not the movie, but the book.
You're right. It's one of the ones that you don't necessarily remember top of mind, but when you do see it, you're like, oh yeah, this is really, really clever writing. It doesn't have the flash of some of the other ones, but in terms of just being, you know, really well written and funny, this is in the top tier.
And maybe it jumps out at me because I don't think Carla was involved in many really super memorable teasers. I think the real punchline, I mean, even though she gets all the physical activity, which is great for her, the punchline, the thing that really gets you, and is Norm's line. And that just speaks to how great George Wendt could be at that. And I've already eulogized him and talked about how much I miss him, but it's funny. And just since he's been passing, or since he passed over the summer, I've been more aware of watching him. And he's just so good so early on in this show, in the season, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, you're right. The only the teaser I associate Carla with the most is, I think it was season four, the where she dances to Shout. That's the one. Actually, no, there's two, because she does a Sun in the Morning and the Moon at Night when she's all alone. And
that's the one I'm thinking of.
And then, it's in the Diane years where she's working a double shift and she has no energy, and Sam decides to wake her up and he puts the money in the jukebox and the song is Shout and it gets her going.
That's right.
Yeah.
She dances away all over there until she unplugs the jukebox. Yeah.
And Leave It Off. Yeah. So yeah, it's really the musical ones that she most shines in, but no, this is probably the most straightforward one. That's her best moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After the opening credits, Frasier comes in complaining about the humdrum repetitiveness of life and how stupid people are just getting up, fighting traffic, going to jobs they hate until they die. And I was like, looking forward to that vacation. He's like, oh yeah, we're going to Maui. So, and then we hear a scream or a shout from the office, and Sam storms out of the office, ticked off, and they're like, is the computer giving you trouble again? And he's like, no, I know what to do. And he takes the bat that is mounted off the wall, and takes it, and he's storming back in to just trash this thing. Yeah, Frasier stops him, and he's like, no. It's perfectly understandable. And again, you kind of got to think of, when you're watching this episode, you got to think about how quaint these things are, that he's having all this trouble with technology. And this was 25 years ago, almost to the day.
Well, and it's so interesting, because I'm like, man, Sam has really, you know, I guess 3 years not running Cheers is really, it's not as easy as getting on a bike again, because I'm like, I don't remember him having these kind of management issues when he was running the bar, but I guess technology came a long way between 1987 and 1990, or he just didn't use all of those kind of gadgets when he was managing Cheers. He was an old school guy.
Right. And I'm sure once the company owned it and they were they had Rebecca managing for them, I'm sure they had certain practices and requirements. Like, they needed to know what all of how the business was doing. She needed to present them with actual figures of sales and charts and how they're doing, what their expenses is, the overhead. And Sam would just keep that in his head or in a little notebook and stuff. And it was much more of a low key thing for him to do it. And that's, he didn't have to be accountable for all those records. Well, I suppose for the IRS, he probably should have, but whatever.
Right.
So Frasier stops Sam from trashing the computer with a bat, and he's like, I can talk to Lilith, and she can help you out. You know, she tells me that she's very good with machines. Naturally, you could have knocked me over with a feather.
It's amazing to me how even in the episodes Lilith isn't in, she looms large.
Exactly.
Her presence is always felt, and I'm sure that's the way the Frasier feels when he's not in her presence.
Right, exactly. And Sam expresses how much he hates this changing technology, like computers and fax machines and voicemail. And he's like, you know, back when I ran this thing, everything I needed was right up here. And he points to his head, and Frasier's like, you mean brains? No, good hair.
Good hair.
Of course, they just kind of laugh it off, like, oh yeah, good one, Sam. But Sam is still 100% dead serious, because he tells, a good smile will open doors for you, but good hair blows them off the hinges. And then we get this thing, this interesting, where I don't know if it's a continuity goof. I guess it doesn't have to be, but he tells them that Rebecca is going to come to the bar to help them work on the computer. So he's just sticking around waiting for her. And Woody says, what about the auto show? Don't you want to see the new models? And Sam's like, that's all right, I know where they're staying, Woody. But the thing is, that makes it sound like they were planning to go to the auto show that day. But
yeah, it does.
That happens 1 or 2 days later, actually. I have to replay the continuity in my mind. So I'm like, how long is this auto show going on? Because they don't go there that day. It's 1 or 2 days later that they go.
Well, yeah, I don't. Yeah, it must be. I don't know. It must be. I don't know how long what the typical range for an auto show is, but I don't know. Maybe it could be a 3 or 4 day auto show.
I've never been, so I couldn't tell you either.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I do think it is important that they foreshadow the auto show gag for this episode. They have to introduce that idea early on for the visual gag to pay off later on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's, and the great thing about it is it's not over the top foreshadowing to where you actually know it's, but when you do end up at the auto show, you're like, oh yes, they did plant the seeds earlier on.
Right. Right. Yeah. So Norm passes an empty bowl to Sam. He says, you're out of pretzels. And Sam goes to get the refill bag, but it's empty. And he's like, we're out of pretzels. Norm's like, I think that's what I meant when I said you're out of pretzels. I'm sorry if I was so cryptic before. So Sam goes through his records. They were supposed to get a shipment, but it never showed up. And he's like, I'm sorry. He's like, I faxed the number on Rebecca's stupid machine. And Norm is not giving him an inch. She's like, hey, some of us depend on our pretzels.
Which, you know, it's funny, depending on the episode, the bar flies put more emphasis on the food at the bar than others. It just depends. But yeah, no, this week they're wanting their pretzels.
This is the only thing Norm can eat without forcing himself to get up off the stool, which he
correct.
And Sam's like, what am I supposed to do? Go to the store and buy you pretzels? And Norm's like, yeah, get some beer nuts too while you're at it. And then one of the more memorable lines, just because it's so weird, Frasier goes, I have a yen for some cheese doodles.
Kelsey Grammer doesn't get a ton to do in this episode, but the few lines he does get to deliver are pretty good.
And it's so weird, obviously, like the haughtiness of him saying, I have a yen for some, like
I have saying, a yen for some cheese doodles.
Like he could have been saying, I feel a bit puckish. Like that's kind of like the same idea. Like who talks like that? But he also follows that with cheese doodles. Like that's what he has. But he says it with no wink at the audience. No subtlety. He's being completely serious.
Yes.
So Sam gets up and he's like, all right, fine. I'm running to the store to get you guys some snack food. And Cliff, he's like, while you're out there, ask her, get me some cough syrup. He's got a tickle in his throat. And as Sam is leaving, he opens the door and a delivery man brings in 20 bags of cement. This is where the mix-up was because Sam ordered 20 bags of pretzels. The delivery man is he's like, oh, yeah, we often intercept their orders as a way to push cement.
So, and there's nothing Sam can do about it, apparently.
He can't. So he just signs for it. And then he tells Woody, he's like, do something with this cement, will you? And Sam leaves. And instead of taking that to mean just get rid of it, Woody's like, oh, hey, Sam, while you're going to the store, pick up some aggregate, a water trough, a shovel, and a wheelbarrow. And then he just gets this playful grin, like a Cheshire-sized grin on his face. And he goes, now, what am I going to build?
There's something, and Woody Boyd has got, you know, for the naive, you know, farm boy that he has got this dark side to him. And when he gets those devilish grins on his face, you know, Woody Harrelson just goes to town and it's so fantastic.
Woody contains multitudes. I think we've found that. Yes. So right after that, we cut to a little bit later. Sam comes back with everyone's snack food, except he did forget Cliff's cough syrup. And Cliff is like,
planning
tickles don't
seeds
just
for later.
Yeah. Tickles don't just go away by themselves. Yeah, again, planning something for later on. Yeah. But of course, Sam bought the cheap stuff. He's not cheese doodles, but imitation stuffed cheese food. And he's like, what's the big difference? And Carla's reading the instructions can also be used as packing material.
Keep out of the use of small children.
So as a way, you know, showing some sympathy, Carla pulls him aside. She's like, you know, if money is really tight, that's why you're getting the cheap stuff. He's like, you know, we're willing to help you. However, if you're struggling to keep the bar up, hey, that raise that I offered you guys a month ago, how do you feel about that? Or how strongly is that important to you? And Carla's like, it's more important than my children's lives. So, all right, Carla, you get to keep your raise. Woody offers to forego his raise if the insurance plan will include dental. And Sam gets his throws a fit about that. He thinks that they're just bleeding him dry and acting like greedy leeches. And she's like, well, why should we work here then if we're not going to get paid for it? He's like, because we're family, honey.
That's right. You know, they were begging to have Sam back as their boss for three seasons. And when they get back, the honeymoon doesn't last very long.
Not at all. And Sam is, you know, he's like, why are you guys treating me like I'm the world's biggest jerk? And Norm kind of tries to comfort him, offer him a shoulder. He's like, you have to establish some boundaries and some tough love, and they're just going to have to accept it. Like, by the way, Sam, can I get a refill? And Sam goes, yeah, I can't put on your tab anymore. I need to take cash. And I was like, or maybe you are the biggest jerk on the earth, Sam. Maybe you are. And Sam just dumps the beer that he was pouring for him. Mm-hmm. So as a note for the listeners, that does not count towards Norm's tab at the end of the episode.
No.
Sam is storming off to back to his office. He's like, if there's anything else that people want. And one of the tertiary guys that we saw, the same Tony, is like, hey, can we have fondue night? And Sam's like, no. And he just kind of gives a shrug. Not everybody likes fondue. It's a funny little moment for like one of these guys that doesn't get a whole lot of lines and not much to do. But what I found interesting, and again, like this is something you never notice, except I'm watching this for the umpteenth time and I'm really mm-hmm. watching everything, is at the beginning of that moment, Tony is by the wall, against the wall by Sam's office, talking to a woman. And then he asks for the fondue thing. And he's like, no, you can't have fondue. And he kind of like shrugs. He's like, oh, I thought everyone loved it. And he walks away from her. Like, weren't they in the middle of a conversation? Like, who's this woman he's talking to? Anyway, that matters not a scintilla, but it's just something I noticed.
Jim Burrows gave him the blocking to walk away, I guess.
There you go. So then Rebecca comes in and she tells Woody to call, Woody calls her Miss Howe, of course, and she tells him to call her Rebecca, not Miss Howe. And Woody likes that. He's like, I've never done that before. And he turns to Norm and he's like, what do you say, Norm? And Norm just shakes his finger. He's like, Woody just sheepishly, sorry, Mr. Peterson. And then back to Rebecca, sorry, Miss Howe, it's just not me.
Yeah, Woody has trouble with those first names.
They while Rebecca goes into the office to work on the computer, they suggest, hey, maybe bring her back as the manager. And Sam asks, you know, what would the guys be accepting of that? Would they be okay if she came back to work, not as the owner, but as the manager? And Norm, voicing the opinion of everybody, is like, would it raise the price of beer? He's like, no, of course it wouldn't. Then what do we care?
We care. Once again, planting seeds for later on in the episode.
Right. And here Sam asks if she'll come back to work, but she says she's already got a job, a really good one in PR, and it might just be a step to something really great. Mm-hmm. But and she's like, but you know what? I'll keep coming by the bar. I'll come by to visit you guys every now and then. And she's like, but, you know, I will have a job that I have to go to, so I can't stay here for 10 or 12 hours a day like you do. And they're like, oh, and then like very self-aware, Norman Clifford, are like, that's fine. You can be part of the part-timers club.
Like Phil
over there. And it just cuts away to Phil and he doesn't get a line, but he just waves his hand.
Waves.
I love that wave. It's like, hey, Phil is right on the edge of joining us. You know, a little bit longer, he can be in there.
And he never really did. For the remainder of the series, he's always sitting on that side of the bar.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. He's good. So she's like, all right, well, I've got to get back to work. You know, I've already like missed like an hour or half an hour or something for lunch. And when Norm's like, an hour, oh, she'll never make the cut for us. A delivery man comes in and brings bags of sorghum. And Sam's like, I asked for some more gum. and he looks at Woody. He's like, what is sorghum anyway? And Woody tells him it's livestock feed. And Sam just kind of assessing the room. He's like, if I put some in a bowl, would Norm and the guys eat it? What is like, are you kidding? I took the bowl of beer nuts away from Norm or from Mr. Peterson. He almost bit my hand off or something like that.
And then fill him up, Woody.
Fill him up. Make best use of it. So we cut to now clearly the next day, Norm is just chowing down the sorghum with next to Pete, the other barfly. And they're like, Woody, this trail mix is great. You know, compliments. And, mm-hmm. and Woody's like, maybe you should mix it with a raw egg to make your coat nice and shiny. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh, nothing. And he's laughing to himself. And of course, this is the thing that the farm boy would find hilarious that nobody else gets because they don't have the reference for it.
And the thing is, I think, you know, it is within the realm of reality that, mm-hmm. you know, they could chow down on sorghum at the bar because it does, it looks similar to some kind of, you know, nut or something like that.
Granola.
Yeah.
So Sam comes out and he has hired a new manager, Earl. Earl is played by the actor Brian Clark, who was also in episodes of Wings, Saint Elsewhere, Magnum P.I., Lois and Clark, Alien Nation, the movies Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, again, that's the Sal, Carla's brother from earlier in the episode, was also in that movie. Weird. The Madonna movie Body of Evidence, and All the President's Men.
That was what I most recognized him for. He plays a lawyer early on in All the President's Men.
And like, if I hadn't seen it and I just had to guess what he plays based on his look, like, I think this guy looks freakishly like Ronald Reagan. Like, yeah, am I alone? Yeah. Is that just like,
No. And I believe I did some reading. I believe he did play Ronald Reagan in a TV movie or something like that.
Okay. He does.
I don't think that's kind of a coincidence, because, you know, we're in 19, you know, just 2 years after Reagan leaves off. So I think they're doing kind of a folksy Reagan-ish type character with him anyway.
Right. Yeah. If I didn't know All the President's Men really well, I would just guess. I was like, oh, maybe he plays a younger Ronald Reagan before he was like, was he governor during Watergate?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah. Oh, and actually, I'm just looking at, yes, he did. He plays Ronald Reagan in a movie called Pizza Man from 1991, starring Bill Maher.
Wow. Okay.
Who knew?
Interesting. All right. Well, anyway, so Sam brings him out. He's like, this is Earl. You know, he used to play ball for the Chicago Cubs. And they're like, oh, hey, you're one of us. He's like, you guys are from Chicago? Which is interesting, because George Wendt was actually from Chicago.
Right.
And he's like, you're from Chicago? And Carlos, no, they're all losers. And they kind of joke around like that. And as Earl is walking around to go behind the bar, Cliff sneezes, you know, because he's got this cold. And he's like, oh, man, that sounds like a bad sneeze. And yet you're out there every day delivering the mail. And he kind of gives them this, like, you know, puckish, like, you know, punch on the shoulder of camaraderie. He's like, I got a ton of respect for you guys. And he walked back. And Cliff is like, Sammy, give this man a raise.
Raise. Yeah, and Cliff being the first one to fall under his spell.
The first one to fall, yeah. And then Norm was like, why don't you sit down next to us? He's like, no, if I sit down the bar, I'll never leave. He's like, it's either that or going home to the wife. And, you know, I hate to do that. And Norm's like, do you have the other half of this amulet? Of course, they all feel like they found this spiritual cousin that walks in with them.
Yes.
And then, of course, we find out that Earl also tends bar, and he's good at that. And then he spots a woman, and that's a very attractive woman. He's like, check out that babe down in the pool room. And Sammy totally missed her. So we're like, okay, not only that, but he can be a good wingman for Sammy. Like, is there anything this guy can't do in the span of 30 seconds? I love it. Sam was looking at him, he's like, wow, you do have good eyes. You sure you played for the Cubs?
And if, you know, and even though the Cubs have won a World Series since, I mean, that joke still works, which is what's great.
Right. Yeah, it was still 25 years after this that they won.
Yeah, so, I mean,
was it 10 years? It was 10 years ago now. Oh, man.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Oh,
crazy.
That was a big night. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So they're like, they're, you know, just saying, you know, how much better he is than Rebecca. And Sam's like, you know, don't naysayer. And he explains for Earl, you know, they have this old manager that they like, but, you know, she went on to bigger and better things. Cut to Rebecca is working the auto show. And if you're generous about the description of public relations, sure. She's wearing like a sequined gown with a sash, like a Ms. America type sash, except it says Ms. Miracle Buff. And she is demonstrating, she's like, nothing scratches the car with Ms. Miracle Buff or something. With Miracle Buff. And she's like, not even acid or something like that. And she pours it on the car, hood of the car, and then has to wipe it up and burning her hands.
It's an incredible visual. And, you know, because she looks like, I mean, she looks like a cheap version of one of the models on The Price is Right or something like that. And And it's so great. And what really and what really punctuates the whole rest of this is the reverb of her speaking into a microphone. For some reason, for some reason, that just makes all the dialogue even more funny.
I think just the awareness that everybody is supposed to be hearing her while she's complaining, like, and most of them don't care. Actually, we'll come back to that in a second. Because we cut back after the commercial. She hit her. She her hands are burnt, but she's going to test it with a fire by putting fire on the car. It's like, you'll just have to take my break for it. And she's like, she's going to take a 1 minute long break, and she gets up off like the rotating stage because the car is like spinning around, and she gets up off that, and just to some rando in the crowd, she's just pouring her heart out. She's like, I get so afraid up there. And this guy, he's like, we're afraid for you. But that's what makes the auto show so exciting. And, oh, man, this guy, he's credited as car show patron, played by Timothy Fall stuff, but, like, nothing, like, really big or memorable. Like, his delivery of this line, I'll bring it back at the end of this episode, but it's just, like, so out of nowhere, so weird. And it's just, like, okay, this gives you an idea of who the people who come to this auto show are, and that's going to make up for a line that Sam gives later on.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's one of my favorites in the whole episode.
That's what makes the auto show so exciting. Sam and Woody show up while Rebecca's on break, and they're like looking around. Because Earl is covering the bar now, they have an excuse. Okay. They actually wrote a reason in for everybody to leave the bar and not be working there. Now they actually have an in-show explanation for that.
That's right.
And Woody is looking at some sheepskin covers. Sam's like, why are you buying all this stuff, like varnish and like upholstery cleaner? He's like, well, you don't even have a car, Woody. He's like, no, but most of my furniture comes from the inside of cars. Right. And then over the microphone, they hear Rebecca addressing the audience, saying that she's going to do something. And they're like, oh, Rebecca is working here. And Woody's like, wow, she's Miss Miracle-Buff. She does have a great job. And they try to hide so that they don't embarrass her. So they're kind of walking in the circle with the spinning car, but just out of her field of vision.
It's such a good sight gag. Yeah, it is.
So she's like, we've already proven that acid and fire can't hurt Ms. Mirabel, but what about, and she's like reading the script as it happens, like, burning tar? And the promoter is handing it to her.
Just in a red guy, bucket.
The promoter is played by Perry Anzalotti. He's got a lot of TV credits and stuff like that. And he's just holding the bucket of tar. Like, you're right. Yeah. She's like, I'm not going to do this. He's like, this is what you're being paid for. She's like, at least give me some oven mitts. And then pleading to the crowd, he won't even give me any oven mitts. She's like, I am making a lousy $6 an hour that won't even cover the skin grafts.
And once again, yeah, it's just that reverb of the microphone, you knowing that everybody in this place can hear her.
Right. Like me, like this is an example of somebody making their problem your problem. I know. And she threatens to throw the bus. She's like, she threatens her boss. She's like, I'm holding a bucket of burning tar here. And at that point, Sam has to intervene. He jumps up on the rotating stage with her. He's like, put the tar down. And she like, he's her savior. She's like, oh, Sam, could this all be a bad dream? And he just looks around. No, honey, this is the auto show. And the delivery is different, but it lands like it's Chinatown.
it really does.
Like you can't fight it. Like the rules don't apply. This is a crazy place, and you can't expect to win at the auto show. It's
like Ted Danson's delivery is perfect. It's like, oh yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah.
That's like that whole thing. Just like all our time spent in the auto show is like 2.5-3 minutes at the most.
It is, but it's what you remember. I mean, there's some other great moments coming up toward the end, but it's what you remember about the episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Back at Cheers, Cliff walks in feeling healthy and pure, thanks to Earl's cold remedy. But Norm, Carla, and Pete all have the symptoms. Sounds like acid in the adenoids. I love that line. And I don't want to be an alarmist, but tonight, if you live through it, it's going to be the worst night of your entire lives.
I do enjoy the moments when Cliff gets to be a little more aggressive towards everybody else, because most of the time he's just kind of the weirdo or the nerd that everyone picks right. on, and he gets to, you know, he gets to kind of have an upper hand over everybody else. We don't see that too often.
Right, right. When he's actually in the right. When he, yes. Yeah, when he has that upper hand, yes. Like you said. I like, good, yeah. Earl comes out, has Norm sip a beer. They test it. He's like, this tastes really good. What'd you do? And he's like, I adjusted the pressure of the beer kegs and I cleaned the lines, and this makes the beer taste a lot better. And he's like, how does this sound to you? Mrs. Earl Peterson. And then Earl gives Carla a back massage to relieve some tension from her shoulders. And she's like, that is the best I've ever felt without ending up with a baby.
It's great. Yeah, I mean, and it makes sense that Carla is really sort of the last one to fall under Earl's spell, but it eventually happens.
Yeah. And while all of this is happening, this guy, Earl, just has the greatest smile. Like, you just see a twinkle in his eye. Like, I got another comp, and I'll bring that up at the end. But so Sam and Woody come in with Rebecca. They bring her back to Cheers. Her hands are all taped up and everything. And she's like complaining. And this is where everyone finds out that she was at the auto show working there. And Woody's like, it couldn't have been that bad. She's like, Woody, I don't have any fingerprints left. And in the office, she tells Sam that because of her involvement with Robin, none of the serious corporations would touch her. So this was the best job she could get. It was either this or selling her body on the street. And then with some resignation, she's like, okay, I made the wrong decision. And Sam offers her her old managing job at Cheers again, and she accepts it. She thanks him for taking care of her. But as they're leaving the office, they open the door, and the whole crowd out there is singing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, for Earl's a Jolly Good Fellow. And Sam closes the door. He's like, I forgot about Earl. He goes, who's Earl? Jolly Good Fellow. It's like, and Earl is a great hire. He's great with everyone at the bar. They've really come to think of him like a family member. And Sam feels obligated to his new hire. So he asks Rebecca, are you sure you gave the auto show a chance? So he makes her fire Earl, pushes her out into the bar to do that, and then he just kind of holds the door shut for a little bit, and then he opens the door to see what's what, and we just see a hand reaching out and grabbing him by the throat, and Norm going, you fired Earl!
It's a great moment because you have a nice little bit of silence where you don't know what's going on, and then, just that hand coming out, it's so great.
And Earl steps in and stops Norm from throttling Sam. He's like, hey. And he asks Sam if you sent this poor girl out to fire me. And Sam's like, no, he says immediately. And then he thinks, he's like, I could never lie to you, Earl. It's almost like you just met this guy in the span of like a few minutes in the show. Like, but it's like, I could never lie to my best friend, Earl. You're too special. So Sam explains that Rebecca's their friend and they have a history and he can't afford to pay both of them. And he hopes that Earl will understand because he can find another job. And of course, Earl understands. He just wishes Sam had the guts to tell him straight. He's like, I'm kind of disappointed in you, Sam. And Sam just like, it's so cringy for Sam.
And everybody on the bar is kind of cringing at that point.
It's like, it was such a paternal thing. It's just like, oh man, you let him down. So he's not upset about losing the job for a good reason when it's valid. And he says he's always believed that the most important part of work and life too is loyalty and committing to the people that you care about. And Rebecca recognizes this pearl of wisdom. She's like, my father used to say that. And he's like, why don't you go over there? Why don't you go over to the phone and give that guy a call? And she does. She takes that to heart. And then Earl starts to walk away and he throws over his shoulder. He's got his duffel bag, but it's that old kind of like the baseball duffel bag that you would see like ball players would watch like in back in like the Natural days, like where you'd have like a bat or two in there in his gear. And it's just such a like it's not a hobo's bindle, but you're like is he like where does he go from here? Like he carries all of his stuff in that bag. He's just like this folk type character, this folk hero traveling from town to town solving people's problems. It's just right. It's such an unbelievable character.
I know. It's like I know. Yeah. It's like he's almost kind of like a male Mary Poppins or something.
That's exactly it.
He comes in, makes everything better, and then flies to the next bar.
Yes. I think that's pretty, like, I think he looks like Ronald Reagan. And you're right. He has that Mary Poppins quality. And I think, I don't know what it is, a little bit of Gregory Peck's Atticus Finch from the movie To Kill a Mockingbird. Something about that, like that just timelessness of like
he's
wisdom
faulty.
And virtue and doing the right thing. It's like, who is this man? And as he leaves, everybody just kind of waves goodbye very slowly. Like they can't believe it. And Norm is just like, Sam, that was Earl that just walked out of here. And Sam explains to the guys, he rehashes the whole thing about how they have to accept his decision. You know, he loves Rebecca. He had to do right by her. And they're not happy with this. But Norm, being the voice of the crowd, is like, hang on, you just tell me this. Is this going to raise the price of beer? Asking the question again. And again, the same answer. No. Norm, then what do we care? And they start singing for She's a Jolly Good Fellow to Rebecca, and they're singing it to her, but she's over there on the phone, and she turns around, shut up, I can't hear Daddy. It's like they're trying to welcome her with open arms, and she's telling them to shut up.
And that wonderful Kirstie Alley way.
Yes. Oh, I love it, I love it, love it.
Yeah, it's a great one. I mean, there are tons of just incredible comedic moment, and like I said, you never quite know from the beginning where it's going, and there's so many little twists and turns and funny moments that you don't expect, and it's a lot of things that it's like they work in like four or five different plots into one episode.
Yeah, you're right. It is bizarre, but it's somehow that works. Like I wouldn't call it a Frankenstein because it turns out so gloriously, but it's strange.
Yeah.
The other two guest actors that I didn't mention, the delivery man, the first delivery man, the guy who brings in the cement, is played by Stanley Bennett Clay. He's got lots of TV stuff, including an appearance on MASH. But this episode of Cheers was his last IMDb credit for a couple of decades. And then he popped up again and did something in 2011. So strange. I'm not sure. The other delivery guy, the second one who brings in the sorghum, played by Paul Cera, he only has 5 credits on IMDb. He has this episode, an episode of Married with Children, Melrose Place, Silk Stockings, and Down the Shore. So
interesting. That's very different shows.
Yeah. I mean, he is a very strongly built guy, and I can see him just as a kind of like – I can see him fitting in the world of Melrose Place and Silk Stockings, those type of shows.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I can kind of see that. I don't know if he had an actual serious part. I mean, clearly it was only one episode each, but, yeah. Mm-hmm. Last thing, and I pulled this right from IMDb's trivia, but if you watch the auto show scenes, there's a banner in the background advertising the 1991 – Candiro 4x4. Now, Candiro is a vampire fish, or that's the other name for it. It is a species of parasitic catfish native to the Amazon basin, which have been known to swim up the urine stream and into the urethra of unsuspecting people going for a swim.
Ugh.
Yeah. So that's the name of a car that they're coming out
with. That is hysterical.
Yeah. There's just so much I like in this episode. Like, every line just fires and hits, and everybody has great moments.
Really. And like I said, probably the cast member with the least to do, Kelsey Grammer, at least he even has he's at least got the yen for cheese doodles line.
right. Norm had 7 beers this episode, which brings him up to 842. For the employee of the week, mine was pretty obviously Earl. I mean, he's the guest, and just everything he does is perfect and so magical. It's amazing. But yeah, I mean, if I was going to give it to like one of the regulars, probably Norm, maybe Rebecca, but just Earl by a mile. It really was. What do you think?
Oh yeah. For me, it was Earl. Definitely. Yeah. He's just such a memorable guest in this episode. He's somebody that you know, all of the, you know, all of, you know, out of the 275 episodes of Cheers, you know, the so many people come in and out. He's one of those that sticks in your mind. And right. He's just so, he's so homey, and he's so, you know, like you said, good natured, everything about him. And he's got that folksy down home nature about him. And
yeah.
It's just such a memorable finale and such a memorable moment, especially because so much, you know, the entire bar shifts their focus to him in that last moment. So it's really, really easy. And he and Brian Clark, he just delivers all his lines so well. And you just make it believable that this is a guy that everybody could fall in love with, even these cynical people in this bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that for my home run, for my best gag of the episode, I actually had to separate everything about Earl. I was like, okay, what are some things that have nothing to do with Earl that I can pick for this episode? And I had a couple of them. I love the way when they're singing the song for Earl's Jolly Good Fellow, and Sam is like, shoot, I forgot about Earl. And she's like, who's Earl? And he just kind of nods towards the door. He's like, the guy they're singing about, the Jolly Good Fellow. I like that one. I liked Woody with just the canny smile when he's like, what am I going to build? But I really think my favorite part of the episode is the guy who's she's like, I get so afraid up there. We're afraid for you. But that's what makes the auto show so exciting.
Yeah.
What about you? What were your home runs?
Mine, you know, the line that I just can't remember, and we talked about it was, you know, Sam, am I dreaming? No, honey, it's the auto show. That for me is the thing that I will always remember. But this time watching it again, I did chuckle out loud at Woody when he talked about his furniture coming from the interior cars, and he says that he has to be careful when he shaves because objects may appear closer than they appear. I did love that line. And then Carla, you know, this is the best I've ever felt without ending up with a baby, just because she delivers that so well. But yeah, you're right. Every line in this, and you know, the yen for cheese doodles line is great too, just because of Kelsey Grammer delivers that with no irony whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even like Cliff, when they come back, when they're like, did this cold of yours start with a little tickle in your throat and a swelling of the glands or something? It's like, sounds like acid in the adenoids. No, they riddle off the other symptoms. It sounds like an epidemic.
Yeah, Brandon. It's great moments right after the other.
Yeah. Brandon, thank you so much for being on my guest again. Love talking about these shows with you. Where else can our listeners find you if they want to hear more from you?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's always a joy. And yeah, they can find me. The podcast is called Front Row Classics Podcast. I am anywhere you find your podcasts, on Spotify, on Apple, Audible, anywhere. And then, yeah, on social media, just look up Front Row Classics Podcast anywhere. And then if you want to email me with reactions to an episode or anything like that, classicsfrn@gmail.com.
It's nice. Very good. Very cool. Until I have you back, maybe this season, but definitely next season. Until then, thanks to all of you who listen to Cheers Cast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheers Cast is supported by the Right On Network, and Jeff and Rick presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
You got a job here managing if you want.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh, Sam, thank you. I'll do a great job for you.
Shit, I forgot about Earl.
Who is Earl?
Jolly good fellow.